All right, let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Lord, thank you for just loving us. Thank you for really just giving us purpose, Lord. We would be aimlessly just trying to figure out life day by day if it wasn't for you and your word that you left for us. And so, Lord, I do pray that we wouldn't just know that we have your word, but we would actually be and we would just be led by it, and we would read it and just be convicted by it and allow it to change our lives, allow it to just mold us to be more like you. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today. I have a lot of things that I would like to say, and I pray that you would just shut those things up and that they would be your things, Lord, that these would be not my convictions, but they would be things that you desire to see in us as the Passpoint class, as we grow and draw closer to you. And I look forward to hearing just Pastor Brian's vision for the church today. Is, you know, that's what we're going to be doing in the main service. And there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of ministry activity. There's ladies' conferences and just different things coming up. And it's easy to be overwhelmed with the things that we're doing, Lord. But God forbid that we are doers of the word, but, you know, we're not in your word. And so, God, I pray that you just continue to draw us closer to you in that way. Just get the glory from all of it. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so I told you guys that we were going to start the book of Acts, and we are, and I will even give you a date on when we're going to start the book of Acts. We will start the book of Acts February 2nd. That is 3 weeks from today. that's still debatable. That's still debatable, so... February 2nd is my plan. I have a couple weeks of just kind of the, I don't even want to call it the Passpoint vision, but just kind of where we're going. I want to make sure that we as a class, and I understand that it's hard because this group will be in here this week, and then next week there'll be about half of you, and then there'll be another half of other people that are in ministry right now doing different things, and, you know, that's why we record it. I know there's people that listen to it, and so, but I really want to make sure that we are on the same page as a class moving forward. Do I need that? I don't think so. Are you expecting a new call?
I have my phone.
I was kidding. So anyway. I want to make sure that we as a class know where we're headed. Because once we get into the book of Acts, it's going to be a lot. The book of Jonah took us almost a year. And it's four chapters. And so the book of Acts is a lot more than four chapters, and they're longer chapters, and so there's a lot of deep stuff in there. I told you guys that I've actually wanted to teach Acts for quite a while, and not just for your sake as the class, but for my sake in general. I wasn't in a place to teach it. There's a lot of doctrinal stuff in there that's going to provoke a lot of questions, and I wasn't ready. And so I really feel like I personally and we as a class are there, and we're ready to jump into some of that stuff. I'm excited for all that. But anyway, before we get there, I want to take a couple weeks, and I say a couple weeks because I just know myself, and there's no way I can get through all this in a week. So the goal is to get through half of it today, and then we'll do the other half next week. But I want to make sure that we are focused on where we're going. And if you were here a few weeks ago when we had class, I've already told you, you know, we're basically going to run back what the vision was for last year. And that is basically because I did a lousy job as a leader of rallying around that. And so I want to make sure that I stay on point this year as we move forward and whatnot. So anyway, if you're looking for a title today, the question is, or the title is, are we there yet? It is a question. Are we there yet? And so have you ever, now I understand everybody in here is not a parent, right? I understand that we have a lot of different ages of life. We have people that are single, right? I don't ever want the singles to feel like, oh, well, I'm excluded because I'm not married. There's actually a gift in the Bible of singleness, and Paul says if you've got that, that's actually a good thing. So anyway, enjoy it while you can. But anyway, have you ever been on, you know, maybe a long car ride with children, right? Younger children.
Or short car ride.
Yeah. Right? And, you know, kids and you know, what is it they always ask? Are we there yet? Right? Are we there yet? Right? And I'm not even talking about like from Chris and Abby's house to church because, I mean, shoot, that's a journey all in itself. But I'm talking about like, you know, maybe a 4-hour car trip. You know, we just rolled out of the holidays. Some of you all, you know, took some sort of a trip of some sort. Anyway, so I'm talking like it's a 4-hour trip. You're 25 minutes into this thing and they're like, I'm so bored, right? What are we going to do? We've got to be almost there, right? So what do you do at that point as a parent, right? Or as an adult in the room? I'm not just going to say parent because there are times that... Well, those are options, right? Those are options, but... NyQuil. Benadryl. Anyway. You give them something to focus on, right? You give them something to focus on. You give them like checkpoints along the way. Something, right? You give them a landmark to strive for. And you say, well, when we get to this point, like when you see this, you know that it's not something you're going to see all the way up. But when you see this, then you'll know that we're halfway there, right? And they're like, oh, okay, so I at least have to find that and then I'll know I'm halfway. And then you're like, okay, and then when you see this other thing, right, or when we get to this town, they're old enough to read maybe, and, you know, they're reading signs, and like when you get to this town, now we're a little bit over halfway. You give them something to like, oh, okay, well, now I know, right? And so why do we do that? Well, one, for sanity, because you would go insane if it was, are we there yet? Are we there yet? I mean, and then it's just like, do I need to pull this car over? And, you know, don't make me pull this, you know, all of those things. So anyway, we do that because if we told them that there were six other landmarks that I was going to tell you out before we actually got there, they would be overwhelmed, right? If you were like, well, actually, once we get past this town, then I'm actually going to give you five other ones that we have to get through as well. But I'm going to give them to you one at a time. That way it gives you one thing to look for. They'd get overwhelmed. And, you know, then they would be like, I just want to go home, right? I have to go to the bathroom. No, you don't. You just want to get out, right? You know, it's just like they see a squirrel. Oh, my gosh. You know, it's something to take their mind off of it. And you're like, why are we talking about this? Can I just tell you that God's doing the same thing with you, right? God's doing the same thing with each and every one of us. I'm not just saying you, like I'm something different. I'm trying. God's doing the same thing with me. From the day that you get saved to the day that you get to glory, whether that's through running your race and passing into glory, whether that's getting raptured out of here, whatever that looks like, from the day you get saved till the day you get to glory, God's taking you somewhere. So how do we, as Christians, just like little kids in the car, keep from getting overwhelmed with the journey? How do we keep from just being overwhelmed with the fact that, oh my gosh, God wants me to be that? He wants that out of my life? Oh my gosh, I don't know that I can do that. Right? Well, the answer is pretty simple. You have to stay focused on what he has told you. Right? Because if you're focused on all the things that could happen, all of the things that might happen, all of the things that maybe should happen with the way that you're living, you're going to get overwhelmed. But if you can stay focused on what he did tell you, hey, focus on this, right? Focus on this landmark. And when we get there, then we'll go from there. Open the door. Somebody's peeking in. I don't know who it is, but they need to get in here. So you focus on that landmark. Stay focused on what he has told you to do. Just in that one in particular thing. There's room up here. There's some room with Doug and Pam. I promise that we're just normal dudes, so it's all good. When you're riding in the car with the kids and they're like, are we there yet? And you're just like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I just want to strangle you at this point because we just got to get there, right? Yeah. Yes. I get it. Like, but don't think that for a second, there's not times that the Lord with you in your life as you're following him the best way that you know how. And he's just like, if you can't stay focused, I might strangle you, right? Or God doesn't strangle you, but I mean, he's going to chastise you as a child at times. And so the point is like, stay focused on what it is he did tell you to do. Instead of squirreling out on, well, oh, look over there. We could go do that. And then it's like, oh, check out that ministry. And oh, hey, that sounds cool. We should do that. And you know, the next thing you know, you're so off point on what he did tell you to do that you're aimlessly wandering, right? And you find yourself, where a lot of us do at times, in Christianity, in asking yourself, what is the point of any of this? I'm not even saying what's the point of all of this. I'm saying what's the point of any of it? Because I'm lost. Well, I promise, as much as I would like you to think that, you would like to think that it's somehow God's fault, it's not. He's perfect in everything that he does. We just can't seem to stay focused. And I don't mean as a class. I mean, yes, this is kind of like the Passpoint vision for where we're going this year and whatnot. But what I'm saying is we just can't stay focused. We live in a culture where if we were to be pulled away from a screen, I'm not even talking about for a day, but I'm talking about for hours. I think some of you might not know how to breathe, right? And I don't mean in this class because you guys got it figured out, but I'm talking about the rest of the world. And it's messed up. We've got to stay focused on what God told us to do. And we spent an entire year last year going through, we called it the family life study, you know, just the most basic of the basic things that God told us to do, you know, as far as, you know, just being a Christian, as far as being a parent, if you're a parent, as far as being a spouse, if you're a spouse, as far as, you know, just following him and all of those things. And then we took that into the book of Jonah because God tells Jonah at the very beginning of the book, hey, this is what I want you to do. And he's like, yeah, I don't really want to do that though. You know, and I'm sure, again, that's never happened in your life where God said, hey, this is what I want you to do. And you were like, what's option B? Right? Because I don't really like that option. Well, guess what? God is going to continually bring you back to that. And we spent an entire year looking at what is it that God has told me to do. And so we have to stay focused on that. And so I'm sure somebody, as we went through this for an entire year, what is it that God told you to do? Right? Did anybody at all get any kind of clarity and what God is like leading you to do? And I'm not going to get super in depth with this, but I even personally, this last year, was praying, like, what is it that God's asking us to do? You know, most of you guys know, Paige and I are overly zealous in the fact that, like, whatever it is that God tells us to do, we'll do it. We were ready to move to London at one point in our life. You know, we're always preaching from the pulpit, like, hey, who is it that's going to go and, you know, plant the next church, to be the next missionary, to do whatever it is? And, you know, I'm like, here am I, send me, Lord, if that's what you want. I'm not holding back anything. And so I personally, and Paige and I, we really went into last year, what is it, God, that you want us to do? And I feel like I have more clarity. There's a few instances, and I don't want to get super personal about it, but I know I can think of a couple different things that God did in our lives to break ties with things that we didn't need to be too tied down to, and at the same time root us and give us vision for where we are going. And so if anybody's wondering, like, the vision as of right now is we're not going anywhere. God made it overly and abundantly clear that you need to stay right where you're at. Even when I was like, God, give me some sort of vision to switch this thing up, right? Not that I'm bored with it. I'm excited about what God's doing in the Passpoint ministry and just the ministry in general, but I just want to make sure that we don't become stagnant. And so we're praying, and I can think of a couple times that God like smacked me in the back of the head and said, right here, right now, keep doing what you're doing. Stop getting off point. Like, I'm just affirming this. And then not even, there's just new ministry opportunities. If anything, God is rooting us more where we're at. And so I say all that to say, we're not going anywhere, so you guys need to really buy in because I'm bought into this thing. So anyway, what is it that God told you to do? Because hopefully you have some sort of vision, right? And so in 2024, leading into that, what is it that God told me to do? And you're like, I don't really know where you're going with this, right? You're giving this analogy. So here's what I have for you today, because I need you to understand that God is always growing you. There will never be a time in your Christian walk where God's like, you know what? I'm just really content with where you are right now. Now, you need to be content with where you are right now until God calls you somewhere else. But the Lord is never going to think, you know what? They've arrived, right? I promise that's not going to happen. God will always be stretching you, growing you, bringing you to like another stage of, you know, consecration or whatever that looks like. And so anyway, I have a couple examples because I need you to really grab onto what I'm talking about as we go into the vision for this year. And so I've got three examples of Christ growing us along the ride, you know, and we're just the kids in the back seat saying, are we there yet? Can we just be there? Like, I'm kind of getting bored with this. You know, what are we doing? Three examples of Christ growing us along the ride. First, flip over to Romans chapter 12. Right, these are three completely different passages, but I need you to see the correlation between what is it that what God is doing in our lives. And so I'll read it. I'm not just going to like have somebody else read it. But Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, you guys by now know this is my favorite passage in the Bible. Pretty big book. These two verses right here are, if I could only have two verses, this is where it's going to be. Because this is where God just really calls you out. But anyway, let me just read this to you. Because this is growing in the will of God. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, this is the Apostle Paul, probably the most famous Christian, the most consecrated Christian, the most, if I was going to say that guy really does have it figured out, this was the guy. This is what he says as he's writing this letter to the Romans. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, so he's talking to saved people. He's like, I'm begging you by the mercies of God, not just the things that I want, but like in the most godly way, I am begging this of you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So basically what he says is, if there was ever a time in your life where you could just really go all in for Christ. And he says, like, not just a little bit, not one foot in the world, not one foot, you know, half in and half out like a lot of people think Christians are. But if there was ever a time in your life where you could just jump all in, right? If you're going to jump into the water, you don't jump in halfway. You know, once you take the step off, you're all in. You know, Paige took me, I think it was the year before last, skydiving. I actually took her because she really wanted to go, but I felt like it was more her taking me because I never would have done it on my own. Really, it wasn't even so much once you step out because you're strapped onto somebody else. Really, once you get in the plane, there's no going back. When they say it's time to go, like, I can't hold you from jumping out of this thing. And so, you can't halfway jump out of a plane. And so, when you get saved, let me just tell you, you honestly can't halfway get saved. You're either all in or all out. Now, I'm not saying that there can't be a time in your Christian walk where you backslide or you become content with whatever. None of those things. But what I'm talking about is, if you're really going to do this, you can't just halfway do this. You have to dive in. And so what Paul's saying, he's like, I'm begging you by the mercies of God to just give your life a living sacrifice. Holy, meaning just all in, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He says, if there was ever a time that you could just dive all in, just do it. And he says, it's your reasonable service. What he's really saying is like, that's actually the least you can do as a Christian is give him everything. You know, if you started there, God could really use you somewhere. But anyway, that's not really what I'm going to get to. And then in verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world. Obviously, we don't want to be confused with, you know, just the wickedness of the world. But he said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's only one way that you're going to look godly and not worldly. And it's not by coming to church. Although, you know, coming to church is an admirable thing to do. But I promise, I'm not your priest. I'm just a normal dude who really can't talk that well sometimes. And I just try to pull things out of the Word of God and share them with you. But I promise, church isn't going to change your life. Now, it might, you know, give you the avenue to meet Christ and do those things. But he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only way to renew your mind is to be in the book. The only way to hear from the Lord is to actually hear from the Lord. Whether you're listening to it, whether you're reading it, I really don't honestly care how you get it, right? Just get it in, because you have to transform your mind. And here's what I want to get to. He says that you may prove, because we all say we want to do a lot of things. It's the beginning of the year. As a class, we're doing this reading plan thing. And I've heard from multiple people that are like, this is a really good thing. I really hope it sticks, because inevitably, the world happens and people fall off. They get behind and they get overwhelmed and all the, you know, you fill in the blank. Okay, I get that. We've done things like this before, and it's early enough now that I'm not ready to go down that road of re-energizing you, because I think for the most part everybody's still on board. We'll get to that when we get there. But the point is, he says that you may prove. I'm not talking about what you're saying, because a lot of people say a lot of things that they're going to do a lot of things. And God's not really concerned with your good intentions. You know, we can have a lot of good intentions, but I promise, you know, have a lot of good intentions with your spouse and never follow through with them and tell me how that ends up working for you. It's not usually well, right? And so it just doesn't happen like that. So he says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, when I read that, I said I had three examples of Christ growing us. This is Christ growing you in the will of God. So there are actually four different wills of God that he's talking about here. Now, I understand if you're lost, there's only one will of God for your life. It's to be saved. The God of the universe is not worried about you being a better Christian, right? If you're lost, because you're not a Christian. The God of the universe is not worried about you being a better employee or a better spouse or a better parent or anything else. The God of the universe wants you to be saved, because that's the only thing that's going to set you apart for an eternity. Now, at that point, yeah, the sky's the limit. the will of God for your life at that point is sanctification. So yes, there's only two wills of God, but there's different levels of the will of God as far as a Christian is concerned. So I'm just talking to everyone in here like you guys have given your life to Christ. If anybody hasn't done that, man, I promise it has to start there. But anyway, I'm just going to talk to you like someone who is bought in. Okay, so there are different levels of the will of God in your life. And I don't usually get too far into this because it confuses some people, but I need you to understand that just like cruising down the road with your kids, you've got to give them some sort of a landmark to hold on to. And he says these are like the growth patterns of what a Christian would be. The first will of God is someone who's not in the will of God. Now, I'm not talking about not saved. I already told you that I'm talking to Christians, but there are Christians in the world who are not in the will of God. Meaning, they got saved and they've just jumped off. They've jumped ship, right? They're living completely for themselves, completely, right? So you're not in the will of God, because the will of God for a Christian is to be sanctified, which means set apart, which means more like Him every day. And so, yes, I know Christians, right? I could give you names of people, which obviously I'm not going to, right? Of people who are so far off the will of God in their life that you know where they're at? They're just not in the will of God. Now, does that mean that they're not going to be in heaven? No, obviously once you're saved, you're always going to be saved. Okay, I'm not getting into super deep doctrinal stuff here. What I'm saying is if you jump off, you're off until you get back on. And so the first level of the will of God is just not being in the will of God. Okay, but then let's get more into this, because you guys are here not just at church on Sunday, but you guys are here early for church on Sunday, right? You're here for Sunday school or whatever they call this, the Passpoint class, right? We'll get to what that means in a minute because we're going to get there. But you're either not in the will of God. The next one he says that you may prove what is that good will of God. So, okay, the first step in the will of God for your life is to be in the what Paul calls the good will of God. Well, I'd rather be in the good will of God than the bad will of God. So, I mean, check mark. That's a starting point. You know, we're on this road of I want to get to the perfect will of God in my life. Well, you've got to start somewhere, right? What is the first thing that God's telling you to do? Start there, right? To be in the good will of God is just to actually follow through with your good intentions, right? I'm not even saying about doing good things. I'm just saying not just saying it, but doing it. Now you have at least stepped into the good will of God. You might fail at every attempt that you have to do something godly. At least you're attempting it. Someone who is not in the will of God isn't even attempting it. So you know what? If you only find yourself in the good will of God, be glad that you're there and not somewhere else, okay? But someone who has been in the good will of God at some point, he says that, you know, there's another level of consecration, of sanctification that you can get to as you grow in the Lord. He says that is the acceptable will of God. You're not just having good intentions at this point. You're not just hoping that things happen. You know, you're not just throwing up a prayer as a whim, but like you're actually praying for some things, right? You're asking the Lord to, you know, change you from the inside out, which you have to do, right? The Holy Spirit indwells you. You're actually, you know, concerned about the things that the church is doing. You're concerned about the things that, you know, we preach about. And you've now stepped into the acceptable will of God. You're not just good anymore. You know, and I'm not trying to put labels on people, but you have taken the next step in what consecration looks like, the next step in spiritual growth. And now you're not just, when God looks at you, He's not like, you're a good child, but like, you are acceptable. And the things that you're doing, I actually respect the things that you're doing. You're concerned about, you know, worldly things. You're actually concerned about being changed and being more like me. You've now stepped into the acceptable will of God. God says, hey, I understand that what you're striving for is to be like Christ. But at least you're moving along in what that sanctification process looks like. But you know what? That's not, if you find yourself at that point, someone who has, you know, been around for a while, who's in the ministry, who's doing things, and don't be content with settling there. Because God says, there's actually somewhere else that I would really like you to get to. And He uses the Apostle Paul, and He says, not that you would prove that you're in the good will of God, not that you would prove that you're in the acceptable will of God, but that you would prove that you're in the perfect will of God. There is nowhere better to be than in the perfect will of the Lord. Because when you find yourself in the perfect will of the Lord, you understand, you bring yourself to the understanding that it's not my will but His in all situations. When something crazy happens in your life and you're like, I don't understand why that would happen, how that could happen, it's no longer questioning the Lord, but it's understanding that He has, you know, what does the Bible say? Like, our thoughts are not His thoughts, right? His ways are higher than our ways, and sometimes He's got plans that we know not of. And when you find yourself in the perfect will of God, you're not just praying, you're not just coming to church, you're not doing those things, but you are just, you're so bought in that it's like, if this is what God is wanting to use me for, then amen. Right? I said this in D2 the other night because, you know, we're always talking about, you know, who's going to be the next pastor, who's going to be the next missionary, and some people are just, they're like, I don't know, I don't want to do that. And obviously, not everybody who steps in the doors of the church is going to be a deacon or a pastor or a missionary, because there has to be just dudes, right? I love just being a dude in Christ, right? I love just being a no name for Christ, because I would rather nobody know my name here and have rewards in eternity than have everybody know who I am right now. And when I get to eternity, all that stuff burns up. Who cares? Right? But there's nothing better than knowing that, like, I just have peace in whatever God says I'm going to do. And you know, obviously not everybody can be a deacon or a pastor or a missionary, but we should all struggle with the fact that God might call you to that. He may not call anybody, but you should struggle with the fact that, am I ready if He does? Because that's a level of consecration that says, here am I, send me. Like Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6. Are you willing to lay it down for the Lord? I mean, that's when you find yourself in the perfect will of God. Not that you will be the next pastor or missionary, but you're okay with the fact that if that's what God calls you for your life, I'm okay with that. Right? Whatever it is. It's no longer about your wants, your desires, your plans. It's about, what is God going to use us for this year? What is God's plan for me right now? Right? Who can I minister to right now? What am I going to do for someone else? And so that's when you find yourself in the perfect will of God. Just like with the kids, you've got to give them levels of something to grab a hold of. Okay, that's one example. Flip over to John chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, flip over there. So most of you guys have heard this, but not everybody has. In John chapter 6, this is where we get the passage that the Passpoint class is named from. So our class is called the Passpoint class, and people are like, most people know by now, but the whole mindset behind the Passpoint class is, my desire is to see people past the point of no return for Christ. They get to a point in their level of spiritual walk that, like, even if it seemed like everything else in the world went wrong, I couldn't go back to where I was before. I'm past the point of that. I wouldn't even know what that looks like anymore. I would feel like a stranger in a foreign land to try to go back to the life that I had before Christ. And so that's like my vision of being past the point of no return. So anyway, John chapter 6, let me just read this passage so you can kind of see where I get this from, because this is Jesus and His disciples. It starts with a bigger group of disciples. We don't know how many, but then it narrows down to the 12, and then He's talking to the 12. But anyway, in John chapter 6 and verse 60, He says, many therefore of His disciples, meaning the bigger group, when they had heard this, said, this isn't a hard saying, who can hear it? And basically he was teaching, and he was like, the only way that you will sustain yourself in life is to live by me alone, right? And he's talking about him being the bread of life and things like that. So he basically says, the only way that you will be content, sustained, is through Christ. And so that's when he says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this isn't a hard saying, who can hear it? And when Jesus in himself knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, which means make alive. It's the Spirit that makes you alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believing not. No, he's talking to his disciples. He's talking about lost people. He's talking to people who have been following him for years. He says, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who she would betray him. He's not just talking about Judas Iscariot at that point, by the way. In verse 65, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him my Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then said Jesus unto the 12. So now he's really narrowed it down. These are the guys that are supposedly sold out in their following of Christ. He says unto the 12, I lost my spot. 68. Yes. No, it's 67. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? I just saw hundreds of people probably just leave. Are you also going to walk away? And it's in verse 68 that Simon Peter, this guy's always got something to say, right? And this time it's actually not as dumb as what he usually has to say. Because usually Peter has some really interesting things to say, like, bro, just shut your mouth, right? But no, he says, then Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where am I going to go? Like, I followed you to a point, like, I wouldn't know what anything else would look like. I couldn't go back to that. Where else am I going to go? Right? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe that thou art sure, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them and said, haven't I chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? And he spake of Judas Iscariot. So anyway, that's where we get that. That's where the past point name comes from. Because there will be times in your Christian walk where it won't be fun. There will be times in your Christian walk that you'll want to quit. I've been there. I've stared my wife in the face through some of the hardest circumstances of life and said, can we keep doing this? And it's only in those moments that you really realize that you're past the point, because it's like, I don't know what else we would do. I don't know how else we could do it. Why else would we do it? Right? And I'm not talking about when, you know, the devil throws punches your way, the world's, you know, being hard on you. I'm talking about friendly fire. I'm talking about, you know, you got shot by your people. I mean, I'm talking about close to home, the people that you thought would never. I'm talking about times like that. It makes you really question. What I'm saying is, when you get to that point of consecration where, what else am I going to do? I gave my life to Christ, not just for the good and easy, not just for the blessing, right? They want you to say the blessing, right? No, I'm talking about they want, Christ wants your life and all of it. It's the times when you don't know what to do that Christ is like, hey, let me show you. But you have to be willing. It's in the hardest times in your life and in your Christian walk that Christ is really going to refine you in the fire. And you're really going to find out what is gold, silver, and precious stones, and what's not wood, hay, and stubble. Right. And so anyway, I told you I had three examples. This is the second example of Christ growing you along the ride. This is Christ growing you to be past the point. Right? In verse 61, he says, there will be some of you who are offended as you're walking in Christ. Something will happen. Somebody will say something. You know, something will come along and you'll be offended and you'll want to leave. I've seen it happen. Right? I've seen HBF go through a time where there were some people that were offended. And at the end of the day, they couldn't even tell you why they were offended. I think they just wanted to be. And we're far enough away from it that I can say that. But some of you know. He says, some of you are offended and you're going to walk away. Okay. Well, that's not you because you're still here. He says, there'll be some of you who don't believe. Well, yeah, you'll believe when it's easy. Yeah, you'll believe when Christ is blessing your life and it seems like everything's going well. And yeah, it's easy to believe in the God of the universe when you've got the God of the universe blessing your life day in and day out. And those are like kisses from God all the time. But what about when you grow in Christ a little bit? And he's like, okay, what happens when it's not all blessing? But what happens when there's actually hard times in life? Are you still willing to follow? He says there are going to be some who don't believe in verse 64. He says there'll be some in verse 66 who go back. They were offended, but they stayed. They were just bitter. It doesn't say that, but I'll just say it for him, right? They're just bitter. And they don't believe, and they get to a point where they're like, I'm just going to go back. Okay. I've seen it. Like, I don't want that to happen. Anybody who has left, you're welcome to come back. But what I'm saying is, there will be some. And Christ said this. He said it to his closest disciples. There'll be some who go back. Right? And he also says, there's some who believe in verse 69. Peter says, where are we going to go? The house of words of the life. He says, and we believe. Okay. The Bible says the devils also believe and tremble, but you know, it says that you believe. So you're telling me you believe what the Bible says. Well, praise the Lord. Right? You say that you believe that you're bought in and you're going to read through the Bible this year. You say you believe and you're going to step out in faith and get in the ministry. That you believe and you're going to lay down whatever stupid sin that you got going on in your life. And you're actually going to follow the Lord. And like, praise the Lord. I believe with you. But you know what? There's one more level than just believing. I'm not talking about believing in yourself. I'm talking about believing that you... He says, there are some who are sure. Peter says, we believe and we're sure. Right? I'm not saying that there won't be hard times. I'm not saying that you've committed to read through the Bible in a year and you might go through a season where it's like, man, you are busier. You know, what's the old saying? The one-legged man in a three-legged race concert. I don't remember how that will go. I don't remember. Almost, yeah. Anyway, yeah. I realized what it was when I got about halfway through and I realized I might not want to say that. Yeah. Sometimes you just don't say what you... Yes, yes. Most of you get it now. The point is, yes, I'm saying, this is the best point class. There are some who, they're just sure. And they don't care what adversity comes. They really don't care how hard it gets. Even in the times when it seems like your family is crumbling. Even at times when it seems like the church body who is supposed to be there to rally around you. And I get it. I hope HBF is that. But there may be a time when it seems like you've been let down. I'm telling you, you have to be sure that He is the Christ. Because you have to at some point in your spiritual walk be able to sustain yourself. Praise the Lord that we have rooms all the way around the church of people who can teach the Word. And if we're not here, there's other people that can step up and teach the Word. You know, praise the Lord that we have a church that's like that we don't have to shut down when the pastor's gone, right? Or whatever else. And, you know, we don't have to call somebody in from a different church to come and preach for us because the pastor, praise the Lord we have that. But what I'm saying is at some point you have to be able to at least feed yourself. And you're like, okay, yeah, I get that. Let me do it in a different example. Everybody loves having little kids, right? It's really fun having little kids, right? Brady's eyes got really big because he's got 5 little kids. But anyway, well, he's got 4 little kids and 1 bigger. But anyway, so it's fun having kids and raising kids. But when your kids get to a certain age, you hope that there would be a time that's like, okay, I've sustained you for 18 years is what the law says, and I'll give you a little grace. Maybe we'll go a couple years past. At some point, you hope that they're able to start feeding themselves. Right? It's all funny until it like isn't funny anymore. You know, it's all, and I'm not talking about my kids per se, right? Praise the Lord. I'm not at a point where I want any of my kids to leave, right? I hope that we're making plans to have a plan to start to leave. But you know, what I'm saying is like, it's all fun, but at some point, like you have to be able to do this on your own. Like I can't feed you forever. The church, who knows what's going to happen in the next years? You know, hopefully things stay normal enough where, you know, the church has enough freedom to continue to preach the Word. But are you able to sustain yourself if for some reason we can't? Because if not, man, I'm telling you, you'll be one who is offended or doesn't believe or goes back. But you have to be someone who is sure. Right? You have to be able to hold to that landmark. And I've got one more I need to kind of get through. Colossians chapter 5 and verse 10. I'm going to have to go really quickly. Because if I don't get through this, then we're definitely not going to get through next week. And Colossians starting in Colossians chapter 2. 5 to 10. Colossians chapter 2, 5 to 10. Okay, so this is the Apostle Paul speaking again. He says, "For though I be absent in the flesh," he's writing this letter to the church at Colossae, and he says, "I'm not there with you, yet I'm abiding with you in spirit," meaning I'm praying for you. And he says, "Joying and beholding your order," meaning I've heard really good things about what had happened in your church. Praise the Lord. It's really good to hear a good report sometimes. You know, as a pastor, sometimes it's just really good to hear about somebody who's doing well and walking well in the Lord instead of always hearing about where people are stumbling or not doing well, or, you know, I'm just saying, sometimes it's just good to hear a good report. So anyway, that's what he's saying. He's like, "I was asking you not with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfast in the face of Christ, the faith of Christ." And then he goes through this and he gives them again milestones, right? Of growth in Christ. The same way you're riding in the car and God's like, "Hey, just stay focused on this thing. And once you get this thing, Once we get there, then I'll give you another thing to look at," right? And it's just a growth pattern in Christ. He says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus as the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." This is like a list of things to be growing and be spiritually mature, right? He says, you know, here's some questions for you because it's right out of the book. He says that you have received Christ Jesus. Like, have you received Christ? And then it says that you're walking in Him. That's just a question for you. Are you walking in the Lord? Or are you just living in this state of, well, at least I'm saved, right? Are you walking in the Lord? Are you doing the things that He's called you to do? Okay, now you're walking in the Lord. Now you're actually taking steps. You're trying to read the Word. Okay, are you rooted in the Word? I'm not talking about just reading it every now and then. I'm talking about rooted. You know what happens to trees when the roots aren't very deep? They break, right? They completely fall over. But I'm talking about a big tree, right? You know, when I was in, I don't have time for stories. When I was in Nepal, we had church under what they called the big tree. You know why? Because it was a big tree, right? It was the biggest tree, right? I know, it's crazy. But like, you know what the roots look like under a tree like that? They're bigger than what's out of the ground. Are you rooted in the Word? Are you that deep in the Word of God? He says, are you built up in Him? Okay, so now you're rooted. What are you building, right? What are you building for Christ? Is there a foundation there? Because I promise there will be storms. Is there a foundation there? He says, are you established in the faith? It's just things right out of the Word. Are you established? Meaning established, right? Is there actually some sustenance to your faith, or is it just what you're getting from other people? Praise the Lord, we have a thing at HBF called discipleship, where you can take someone who isn't that grounded in the Word, and you can give them just the most basic of the basic doctrines, and just show them, hey, this is how you walk in Christ. And you have somebody to just kind of walk through it with you, to mentor you, just to kind of talk through life with you. You know, we call, not everybody, but Paige and I, we call discipleship imparting the soul to somebody. It's more than just imparting the Word, but you're imparting the soul to someone else. Right? Praise the Lord, we have something like that where it's not just, oh, we show up at church, but I'm willing to meet with you whenever. We can do discipleship. We can get in the Word and what that looks like, okay? Are you established in the faith? Are you abounding with thanksgiving, it says? Okay, now you're not just established, but like, would somebody say of your life that you're abounding with thanksgiving? I'm not talking about with joy. I say with thanksgiving. There's a difference. Because you can be thankful for all things in Christ Jesus, right? Now, it's easy to be thankful when things are good, right? Are you thankful when things aren't exactly good? Are you abounding with thanksgiving? And then when you get to verse 10, this is where it really wraps up. It says you can be complete in Him. There's no better feeling than knowing that I am complete in Christ. That no matter what happens in the world, I'm just complete in Him. I don't need what the world has to offer. I don't need that crap anymore. I don't need what the world has. Because Christ has so much more. And honestly, I have more liberty now than I ever had before. I could go do those things and not be condemned for them. Now, is it wise? Probably not. Right? Is it expedient? Not that either. Right? But I have freedom. And then, so that's the thing. So here's, I just want to wrap this up really quickly and we'll be done. In 2025, as just like we were in 24, the only way that we can grow to what Christ is calling us to be, right? Someone, you know, into the perfect will of God. Someone who is past the point. Someone who is complete in Him. We can be what He's called us to be by simply doing that what He told us to do. Stop trying to find like the golden ticket of Christianity. The, oh my gosh, I've arrived. You know what you're going to do to arrive? Be obedient to what He told you to do today. Maybe that's just read the Word. Okay, start there. Be obedient to the one thing that He told you to do. And I promise, once you get there and you do that consistently, He'll say, okay, now it's time to do something else. Right? It's doing that. One step at a time, and He tells you to do something different. It's everyone be who Christ has called us to be, right? It sounds simple. But can I just, and I'm done. Can I just say the hard part out loud? Can I just say what everybody's already thinking? Because I know. I know you because I am you. I've been there. I am there. I go through the same things. All of that sounds really great in theory. Oh, just do what God told me to do and everything will be great, right? That sounds great. Skippity-doo-dah, right? Like, it sounds awesome. Like, it sounds great in theory, but when you throw in life circumstances, it's probably unattainable. Well, I thought you might think so. So I encourage you to come back next week, because I'm actually going to show you that it's not just attainable, but it's low-hanging fruit. It's right there. And I'm not just going to tell you, oh, just do that. I'm actually going to give you ways to do it. And I'm not just talking about, oh, you know, if you just do this, your life will be easy. If you just follow God, then it's going to be... I'll give you ways that you can actually do something about it, if you're willing. I promise, following the Lord is one of the hardest things you will ever do. And it's also the most, not one of, but is the most fulfilling thing that you will ever do with your life. You just have to believe it. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for just your words and your conviction in our life. I pray that you would just really draw us closer to you in sanctification. We all need just landmarks in our life where we can grow just one step farther, one step closer, one step, more in our faith with you. So I pray that I would start with just being obedient to the one thing today, whatever that one thing is, whether that's just saying, God, I need you. I need you in my life. I need whatever that looks like. I need to attain that. And I need your power to do that, whether that's taking a step in ministry, whether that's, you know, being in the Word, whatever that is, God, I promise this isn't like a trick to twist people's arms, but Lord, you want us to be closer to you. You aren't concerned with all of the minutiae and junk in our life. You just really want us to meet you where we are so you can get us where we want to go. But if we don't ever meet with you, we're never going to get anywhere. So Lord, I pray that you would convict us and draw us to you. Lord, send us out as lights in a dark world. I pray that you would just speak through Pastor Brian today as, you know, he kind of just gives us a vision of the church as we move forward, and that we as a church would just be willing to just follow and be on board. So just be blessed the rest of the day at church in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.